Don't let the meeting get in the way of their conversation, right? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
All right.
I'd like to call the meeting to order, approve the minutes of July 11th, 2017, regular meeting, and July 18th, regular meeting.
Second.
Any questions from last time? We held it over. If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 223, requiring the payment of a living wage to employees or contractors, subcontractors provide services to Ulster County. Move.
I'll move it.
I'll second for discussion.
Any discussion?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, John's not here, but I'm not going to be able to support this right now for reasons that the chairman's brought up issues related to some of our contract agencies and their ability to afford this due to specialized services. I think that's a real concern. But I also, it sounds like it's a complicated assessment to point out, but we don't currently, John attempted to pass a county policy that failed. So now, if we pass this, we'll be passing a policy that we're putting on to our contract agencies that's in excess of our own county policy, which to me is a little more, it's like, do as we say, not as we do. And part of the reason why I think the county policy didn't pass is that we never were able to have a really coherent, in-depth discussion about who falls outside of this and why. And one of the things, you can see it in our report, personnel report that Amber sent out for this meeting. A lot of the people in terms of our county jobs that fall outside of this pay scale are part-time youth workers who, while I absolutely support a $15 minimum wage for a living wage, a part-time youth worker could very well be a 16-year-old who's living in their parents' home, and it's their first work experience. They're not looking for a living wage living in their parents' home, working part-time at the Ulster County Pool. So I'm again, as with another resolution that was before us from Legislator Parity, prepared to have a discussion about this, but that discussion has to come with facts and figures and debate, and unfortunately we don't have that. John puts a resolution forward and he's not even here to discuss it. So I'm not going to support this, though I think we should continue to have a discussion about a living wage and what kind of policy we want to set in the county, if at all, and what kind of policy we need. But I'm not even sure how we enforce this or what this means in terms of, someone should do an analysis, in fact the sponsor should do an analysis of which of our contract agencies aren't paying this already. Are we addressing a problem that exists? Are we creating a problem that doesn't exist? We don't have answers to any of those questions, and those questions have been raised before, but we still don't have answers. So today I will not be supporting this.
Yeah, ditto, and I'll just add two things. One is, what's it going to cost us? You know, I asked the sponsor yesterday, I said, you know, at least let's go to, let's say, Gateway and say, give us, or Family of Woodstock, can give us one thing that you do, and if we implemented this, what would it cost? So without a cost factor, I think we're in tough shape. And you also have contract agencies such as, let's say, Health Alliance that may do, or the blood draws for our CDLs or and so on. So they may do a blood draw that takes all of 15 minutes. Now, if that phlebotomist or whomever's doing the blood draw doesn't make $15 an hour, they have to give them $15 an hour prorated 15 minutes. And are we now, setting policy within the county that other agencies may or may not be able to adhere to contractually or whatever? So I again, like Tracy said, I support the theory, but at this time I think there's a lot more information that we need. So I'll be a no.
I've been saying this in committee all along, and I'm still torn on it, but, you know, it's been the county's policy to use contract agencies instead of use our own employees for certain things, like our health care center, mental health, our home health care. But the problem was that we got rid of that off of our spreadsheet, and we gave it to contract agencies who don't pay a living wage. So there's the irony in this resolution is that I too would like to see people make a living wage, but it's going to hurt the not-for-profits. It's actually going to hurt the county because it's going to increase their costs. And so I'm tending not to support it. I think there's got to be a different way to get people to do a living wage.
first.
This should be a very complex and lengthy, detailed resolution, and it's not, because you're talking about a lot of nuances of labor law and compensation on a lot of levels with subcontractors, and just this resolution is lacking. You know, it's just something, it's a feel-good resolution, and our county budgets are predicated upon the structure that's set up now with a lot of these privatization and the structures of compensation that these companies, you know, pay their employees. And, you know, I myself feel that in a perfect world, people should make a living wage. But we don't live in a perfect world. We live in the world that we live in, and we have to pass balanced budgets. And, you know, a resolution of this nature, I'm not opposed to it in theory, but there has to be a lot more specificity with references to labor laws and with the specific subcontractors that we deal with through county contracts. So I'm a no on this.
Before I let Ken talk, I'm just going to say a couple words. First of all, I totally disagree with this resolution for many reasons. Number one, I don't believe as government we should be dictating to anyone what they should be paid to their employees. I mean, there's a minimum wage. The minimum wage have increased over the last year and a half, 2 years. It's got to go progressively go up the next 3 or 4 years. But there again, you know, we live in America where, you know, it's supply and demand. There again, if there's a lack of employees, they would get compensated to probably a little higher wages. If there's not, they're going to get a fair wage. What's considered a fair wage, that's up to whoever's attaining the wage. So in saying all that, I have a difficult saying to any employer what they should be paying their employees. I don't know what they do, their employees. You know, there again, are they getting underpaid? They're getting overpaid? I don't know the answer to that. But there again, I would not set rules, but the Ulster County that determines all of Ulster County what we should be paying or have contractors pay their employees. Ken?
Thanks, Rich. One, I just want to make sure that, you know, I also know, you know, concern for taxpayers. I mean, the Ways and Means Committee's partnered so well with us over the years to make sure that we kind of balance that fiscal and social responsibility to make sure that we provide an enhanced level of service, but also benefit the taxpayers. And I heard a lot of talk about privatization. I don't know that you quite have that right. Like, for example, in the mental health department, where we've partnered with some not-for-profit providers, the employees are still employees of the county providing those services in our adult clinic. So that's not necessarily true. But also, this resolution is drafted so broadly, it would also impact municipalities. We have, in addition to not-for-profits and other private contractors, we also contract with our municipalities. And like, for example, Carl, the town of Esopus, I don't think they pay all their employees $15 an hour. So would we have to terminate our contracts for youth services with those towns if this were to pass? So there's, again, a lot of unknown factors here. I don't think any fiscal analysis has been done, but just want to, you know, also, you know, it's all about the taxpayers for this discussion.
Anyone else? If not, all in favor say aye. Anybody against? Everybody against?
Aye.
Unanimous against. 323, adopting proposed law number 6 of 2017, a law repealing the wireless communication surcharge authorized by Article 6 of the County of the State of New York. Moved.
Move it.
Second. Discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
329, authorizing the construction of Hudson Valley Rail Trail West, Phase 4. Moved.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
333, authorize the issue of additional $45,000 bonds of Ulster County.
I'll move it. Second.
Anybody has the backup regarding why the increase?
Yeah.
All righty. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
335, authorize replacement of roofs at Ulster or County buildings and in Florida County of Ulster at a maximum estimate of cost $1.58 million and authorize the issue of $1.580,000 bonds of said county to be paid thereof. Move. Second.
Second.
Tracy?
I don't know if everyone got to see Manna's email. Manna, did it go to everyone?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So if everyone got to see Manna's email, but this came up in the Democratic caucus, which was after, obviously, Ways and Means, and I know that in our capital project committee, we discussed it, and they said that there was a report that was issued. Subsequent to that time, we got the report, but as Manna pointed out, the report didn't exactly say what was represented, which was that the roof couldn't bear a solar load. It said that the roof could, but certain I don't have it in front of me, but certain beams would need some structural support. Now, going back, I don't even know how many years, 2007 or something, we set out an RFP looking at solar, including that at that roof. And I appreciate that the executive and the executive's office are being aggressive about solar and solar projects, such as at the Ulster transfer station or closed landfill site. But I also think that I don't know that I'm prepared to close the door on this roof being a candidate for solar without an analysis of what the increase in structural support would be against what the savings of a solar installation might be. And I'm concerned that voting yes for it right now at this maximum will be the end of the discussion. And I worry that so often when we're talking about some of these green initiatives, it's late in the fact or after the fact. So I'm not sure what the answer is. I don't know if Deputy Executive Sudlow responded to the email or if Mana's heard anything back from the executive's office. And Mana, you could speak to it. But I certainly would like to see that analysis and be open to the possibility of spending a little more money if it means that few years down the road, it would give us the opportunity to have a structural support that would bear solar, because we have seen what the savings of solar, I mean, on a Jim knows it personally, but what it can mean, and we have substantial costs, not to mention the cost factor, but we're also talking obviously about the environmental factor, which I think we
before
need to
we go
to
Ken, do you have anything about Bob Sudlow not answering?
No, I cannot. Okay. But I think Tracy is right. You know, we've been very aggressive with solar. We're going to generate, first of all, 100% of electricity used by Ulster County government is from renewable resources. We're actually going to generate 25% of electricity from a solar installation on the town of Ulster landfill. I did a final walkthrough with contractors a week ago. They're going to start construction in a couple of weeks, so we're excited about that. But just because a roof exists doesn't mean solar is the right avenue. For example, concerns were raised about the paving of the parking lots. You know, why isn't it permeable pavement in the back parking lot? The answer is because it wouldn't have been appropriate. Most of the stormwater that comes off this parking lot is held in bioretention ponds that are established around the perimeter of the backside and other drywall. So, again, permeable wouldn't be an appropriate solution. So people are looking at this. We have engineers. We have an amazing Department of the Environment. We have one of the only departments of the environment outside of metropolitan New York City area. And again, it's looked at. Again, I don't believe Buildings and Grounds thinks that it's appropriate for this application. And also, too, how much more are you willing to pay to build the family court and get that complex renovated? I know that your committee, that your oversight committee, is bearing down on our budget and keeping to our estimate. So it's that balance. Do you want to hold this up and risk us, you know, exceeding that budget because of it?
Ken?
I think that, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that trying to micromanage what is or isn't on the building is an attempt, a well-meaning attempt, but an attempt to exceed our purview. We've given the executive a task: build the family court there. You know, they did analysis on whether they were going to do solar or not. They decided not to. I don't think it's incumbent upon us to then demand to see all their reasons why they didn't do it and then hope to change their mind about it. I mean, you know, I think that if it would be environmentally and fiscally beneficial, then we'd be doing it. I don't think the county executive's office is, or the planning department or the building and grounds department is intentionally leaving money on the table, you know, when it comes to savings. So that's my view on it. I think that this is, it's a dangerous slope we're heading towards. That's
Manager Joe?
I don't know how we can make that decision without dollars and cents to understand whether or not. All it says is you will need this additional reinforcement. There's no cost associated with it, and there's no comparison of what that cost, of how that cost could be balanced by the solar that would be generated. It is an ideal location. And I think it really behooves us to be very proactive. Climate change is a serious global issue, and we say that we're trying to be a green county, but to just say it would cost more, it doesn't tell us how much more or whether or not that would be wisely invested, because we would save more than that over time. And my sense is that could well be the case, but without them completing the analysis. So, you know, trust me is fine, but it is our responsibility to be fiscally prudent. And I think that without the real numbers, and numbers that include, you know, working with some of the solar developers to help get those numbers. We don't know what energy is going to cost 5, 10, 15 years from now, but those kinds of analyses are done all the time, and it's not just a question of you'd have to add, you know, some additional structural support. The roof was fine, but and I have a question that I don't know if anybody here can help with. I'm trying to sort out how the roof got separated, if it did, from the capital project for the whole building. I don't know if anybody knows the answer to that.
The reason I believe we've been given in the past is because whether or not we were going to renovate the family court itself, it needs to be done. It's a critical structure of the building, no matter what's there, and that there are more than one organization that's in the building. Tracy hasn't gone, so I think.
No, I'm Tracy.
Thank you. So the other thing is, in looking at this report that we got, I have to say, which is why I would love to, I mean, I'll have to forward my questions, I guess, to LaBella or whoever the appropriate person is. But, you know, we were told at the meeting that the roof could not support solar, and reading this report is a bit confusing to me, because if I can just have the committee's, you know, attention for a second. It says, our analysis indicates that the existing steel joints within the field of the roof have adequate capacity to support an additional PV array system with a maximum uniform load of 4 PSF. And that's what the conclusion and recommendation says. The existing open web steel joists within the field of the roof have adequate capacity. And then they go on to recommend, we recommend that the layout of the PV system be set back. In fact, they say, we assume that a PV array system will be added after the project's proposed re-roofing is complete. So this is the report they're giving us after they've sat in a meeting in front of us and said, we did an analysis and it says it won't hold. So, but then you hand us a paper that says it will hold, and we're assuming you're going to do it. It's just very it's confusing to me. I hope this is right and that's wrong, just pointing at the ghost that was in the room a week ago, but it's a strange predicament as a legislator and a non-expert, a building expert, to be in, because I was told directly there is no capacity, and then I'm handed a report that says not only there is a capacity, but we assume that you're going to do it. So which is it? I don't know what's happening is what I'm basically
saying. I couldn't answer that, but let me ask Ken a couple questions here. Ken, is this, if we do not act on this tonight, is it going to hold up the whole project?
I believe there are, again, I don't know the answer, but I believe there are some time considerations. That's why it's before you tonight.
All right, but it's separate than the actual bid that the LaBella is going out on the project itself.
No, I think it impacts the whole project.
In the sense of timing, of doing everything conjunct, you know, togetherness?
I believe they have the whole project mapped out along not only the roof, the whole roof, but also the chemical project.
Alright, so that's that has not gone out yet, correct?
Not really gone out.
You have not gone out to bid yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so I mean has not come in for evaluation to see exactly when you're going to start. I mean, I know there's a time frame that you would like to start, but there again, it's not.
Before
my understanding was that we were going to have a special meeting sometime in the month of
October? Oh, not October, I'm sorry. August?
October.
October. To pick a starting day, to pick a contractor, not
That's
a starting
correct.
Day. So there again, we have from
Something
now
like
until sometime prior to October to evaluate this. This is not going out right at this
point. How much more money are you willing to put on the table?
Well, the question
would
be...
We want to know how much more money would be.
$300,000. How much is it
going
to cost?
Well, the thing is, I think the question becomes, everybody's sensitive to the dollars and cents. The question is, first of all, is it able to be done? All right, and then from what the report says, you know, and at what cost is going to be done. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, it's doing structural for the trusses, for the rafters, they are very expensive, okay? What that number is, I have no idea without looking at it and evaluating it myself. Not that I'm an engineer, but I mean, yes, it's going to be additional money. I mean, everybody sitting at this table is going to realize that it's going to be some extra cost involved. The question is, what extra cost, and are we willing to bite the bullet regarding the extra cost? Correct?
Yes.
All right. So that's the question. Ken and CJ.
I think there's a couple of questions that we have to ask ourselves here. The first question is, how much money are we willing to spend to find out how much money it's going to cost us to do what, you know, what's going on there? Because there's going to be consultants' fees involved. And then the second question is this legislature going to, you know, going to attempt to decide whether or not we're going to use hardy board or drywall on the walls? What color are the floors going to be? I mean, that's some of the questions that we're getting into here with this.
When we're
deciding,
I think that's insulting. Actually, to suggest all right, that
well,
color
that's,
is the
that's
same.
All right. He's just trying to bring a point up about micromanaging. I think, right, Ken?
That's an excellent way to put it.
TJ.
So maybe I'm oversimplifying this, but if I wanted to put solar on my house, I could call a solar guy tomorrow. He'd come in, he'd see how much electric I use, and he'd look at the square footage, and he'd make a determination about how many panels I would need. It doesn't cost anything. So why can't we contact the solar guy?
That's not the point here.
Let me get there. So, well, because I think we got maybe the cart before the horse. So why can't we bring a solar guy
or a solar person in,
and say, this is what we got, this is what it's going to cost, you know, this is our electric, tell us what we'd need and tell us what it would cost. You know, if that individual comes back and says, you know, it's going to cost you, you know, $1.5 million for all the panels, and your payback is 32 and a half years, that's one thing. If that person says, I'm trying to be as politically correct as I can here.
It's okay.
If that individual says, well, it's going to be X, and your payback is 7 years, then it gives us a definitive number, and it doesn't cost us anything. So why don't we just make a couple of phone calls to solar folks and say, give us some numbers, and it's free, and you can do that quickly. If you're going to put it out to bid in October, you're not doing this till what, spring? Or are we going to be stupid enough to put a roof on in November when it's cold so it can fall apart and it'll leak? So this is probably in the spring, right, Ken? We'll put the roof on the building?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer.
I would think if you're not out to bid yet, you're going to give 30 days. You're not going to put a roof on in December, I hope.
TJ, your point's well taken. So, the thing is, you know, looking at what you just said or hearing what you just said, he's correct. The person can't come in and do an evaluation of what it's going to cost you for the solar end of it. I think he cannot evaluate unless you're going to pay him some monies to do some engineering to see exactly.
No. All I'm saying is, let's get the number up, what the solar would cost us and what our payback is.
I understand.
And if that number's extravagant, then we don't need to worry about the reinforcement.
Yeah,
but it's free to get that information.
Okay, so what happens if you come back and the person says, okay, it's feasible, you're going to get a payback of 10 years. All right, now you're going to make a determination. What in that 10 years, what is going to cost you to do the other construction of, you know, keeping the strength up to make that happen?
Correct. But then so that's an easier decision than, because we know what payback is, and it didn't cost us anything to get that. That's an easier decision to then say it's going to cost us an additional $500,000. So now the payback is 13 years, and in the meantime, we're doing all those green things that we want to do. If that's with the cost of energy being consistent, and you can make an informed decision. As it stands now, we're saying, well, you can't because it might be too much money. Mm-hmm. And I think we get a free estimate. Why not?
Tracy and Carl.
And to add on to TJ's point, you know, the Libella analysis actually suggests that the configuration of the what they're assuming is a almost a definite, because they're saying we assume there will be solar in this report. So that once the configuration of the solar and the particular type of solar arrays that are being proposed, that at that point you would determine what kind of analysis on the engineering, because you would have a sense of what the load was and what those panels weighed. And also, if in fact the roofing isn't going to be done until spring, which we need to find out for sure assuming it goes out to bid and we pass it tonight and it goes out to bid as planned, if the roofing is not going to happen until spring, if we were to undertake this analysis in the interim and it appeared that it was a worthwhile to look a little further, it would also benefit us in that the reinforcement could be done in advance of some of the other work, because they say here that the reinforcement would be more expensive if it went in post all the construction. So, because it would mean opening up walls and working around mechanicals or whatever. So, I think TJ's suggestion is a smart one for sure, because we may find out that why are we even talking about this, not related to the roof being able to handle it, but related to the cost and benefit of solar, a solar installation.
Carl?
Well, I just have a question. Are you asking this committee to direct the county executive's office to do this study?
I think request would be the proper word.
Well, right, because that's really not in our purview. I mean, if we wanted solar on this building, we should have put it in the specs at the time, you know, of planning this project.
We have been talking about solar on the building for many, many, many years.
Well, it's my understanding in the charter that we're the policy-making body, and the executive carries out the policy. I don't think there's a policy right now that we have that states that every built capital project that we have to spec out solar or, you know, heat pumps or whatever.
That could be something. Maybe we should make
that could be something. But I think right now you got two choices, right? You either hold this off until next month, which, you know, might be detrimental to the project, or just go with it.
I think
you can't direct it.
I think you'd still vote yes on this. And then as we get the further information, you could always do an amendment. You know, I'm still going to vote yes on this, because we have to move forward with that. But I think if we get information for free and to help make an informed decision, and I don't think the executive would be, you know, all uptight if we're saying, look, let's look at it. And if we can do that for free without costing us any money and make an informed decision, I think that would be a good thing.
Dean?
I know I'm not on this committee, but I agree with TJ with that. If we can get some guarantee that the solar doesn't get swept right off the table as soon as tonight is over, can move forward to say. And this, I just want to correct Kenny what he said before too, the remarks that he made that we're going to paint, what color you're going to paint the floor. This is a much bigger issue than that. I mean, solar is something that can save the county a lot of money down the road. It's something that should be taken very, very seriously.
And we're assuming that it's not being taken seriously.
We're going to worry about drywall or what color we're painting the floor. It doesn't fit in this conversation at all.
It affects people's moods, color, though.
Yeah.
That's an important, you know.
Yeah, affect my mood.
All right.
Okay. That's fine. Painting my living room black.
Anyone else? All right. In regard to resolution 335, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Now, let's. If we're going to do what you suggested, TJ.
Yes.
I think we should state that we would like to have the county exec look at the options of going to solar and see if it's worthwhile. I mean, if we just pass this without any kind of attachment.
Yeah, however we want to include that, yeah.
And we don't have the authority to, other than to ask them to look at it and evaluate it and come back and report with us. For us.
Okay. I mean, all right. We can do that.
Can we bring that back to the county exec office? All right. All right. So everybody agreeable with that? Yeah. With that little caveat in there?
Yes.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Against? All right. 343. Supporting a grant application to New York State of Transportation to apply, accept, and administer public transportation modernization and enhancement funding for bus facilities. Authorizing the county exec to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding. Department of Public Works, UCAP.
Move it.
Second. This is a late, went through rules. It's accepting monies or going through the process of getting grant monies. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same thing with 344, supporting a grant application. Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Costing $150,000 to the county.
Mm-hmm. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any new business, old business, motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second, we have our new hire reports. Everybody has a copy. Thank you for coming. You want to call on the phone?
I am too.
It was hot this morning. Oh, really?
What time is caucus?
It's a perfect analogy.
10 minutes ago. I don't care what anybody says.
No, you're right. Look, I've made suggestions before, and I was told, I got the hand right in my face from over there. Your policy, not operations. With the email, system.
No one's going
to. They went with an
605.